Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 31. What's in that vase? An IED or cocaine?
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx.
I'm Anvil.
And let's congratulate Boston for being voted the least drunk city in all of America.
Boo.
Boo?
Yeah, that's right.
Why boo?
I'm a giant Irish guy. What do you think?
And we want to make sure that we have the highest people on the list for trying to get the liver transplants.
Wait. I find this funny, considering a bunch of Boston colleges made the biggest party schools out of all of them, yet we're the least drunk.
Especially with the binge drinking. We've had so many fucking deaths from it. Come on.
How do we have the drunkest colleges, but we're the least drunkest city?
It's kind of like with Japan having the highest rate of tobacco, of using tobacco, yet they have the highest life expectancy out of every country.
Yeah, but...
Well, that's because they get laid a lot.
People, if you see what I see...
If I got laid that much, I'd survive that long.
You know, you'd understand what I mean about alcohol.
Alcohol.
Nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol.
Yeah, there's always
cocaine.
That. Cocaine! Well, besides the cocaine, we're not condoning that one.
Yeah,
that's just part of the song.
Yeah.
All right. So
the only powder that you should have of the fine substance is powdered sugar,
especially with homemade donuts.
No, on waffles.
Waffles.
I've never done that. Yes, waffles.
It's an Irish thing, dude.
I've never done that before.
It's kind of like the same thing with French toast.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you didn't do it on French toast.
I've never done it on French toast.
All right, man. What you need to do
is fuck is wrong with you?
Mix up homemade waffles. Homemade waffles, dude. Butter. And then powdered sugar. And
do you add the powdered sugar before or after you start cooking them?
No. Homemade waffles.
Yeah.
Make them.
Batter.
Yeah, you I make... Cook. Yeah, I do have yeah, the homemade waffles.
Yeah, you cook them.
Yes.
Put butter on, and then the powdered sugar.
Oh, okay, so butter...
It's an after effect.
It's kind of like what they do with the fried dough.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
But no cinnamon.
All right, so there's a cooking tip for all of you out there who don't know.
I'm fat as shit. Okay, I'm not fat as shit, but you know, I'm fluffy. In the words of...
You're fat enough. Leave it at that and let's get the sports.
I'm an offensive lineman.
Let's get the sports.
Yeah, that works.
I work at the sports.
Let's talk about the sports.
I just did. I said I'm an offensive lineman that covers sports. No. All right, let's jump into some sports real quick. You know this is how we all say it, okay? There we go.
Okay.
Now, the Celtics are back on track. They
finally
had a three-game winning streak. The last game didn't really impress me. We played the New Jersey Nets.
Because New Jersey.
They're in line to be the worst team in basketball history.
We won, right?
Barely.
Yeah, we barely won.
We won by nine.
Did it go to overtime or something?
No. We won in regulation by nine.
Oh, I was making up the Bruins game.
But we were down at the half.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I was at work and I checked it and it was just at the half or something like that, and then they were down by like about 5 points or something.
Yeah,
and
we were losing going into the fourth quarter and stuff, but we want to pull it off. Paul Pierce is still hurt. Once this All-Star break happens, we'll be fine. We'll come back healthy again.
I fucking hope so.
Yeah, no shit.
Same for when we go on the Olympics breaks and shit like that for hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Especially hockey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I was getting to hockey. Well, the Bruins have changed their colors from black and gold to black and blue.
Yeah.
Considering they've been taking a beating lately. And I know Nenya. Sorry, sweetheart. Stop crying.
We'll give you a hug later.
Things will change.
We'll give you snuggles.
Ooh.
Snuggles is fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Snuggles.
Okay. We'll give snuggles. Not snuggies. Snuggles.
We are, but I gave her that for Christmas.
That was a Bruins one. That's still cooler.
Okay, all right.
And it's not technically a snuggie. It's just a blanket with sleeves.
Yes.
Right.
And then
right.
It had the snuggie name to it.
Okay.
Well, the Bruins lost again today because they played at 1 o'clock to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And now our losing streak is in the double digits.
I feel really bad because my buddy just was at that game.
I'm hoping we can snap this soon. It's like, I left my house the other night and we were up 2-0. I'm like, we gotta win and we gotta win.
Yeah, until you called me and fucking jinxed him.
I called, you know, Blue and we were talking. I'm like, hey, what's the score? And he's like, 2-1. I'm like, oh, okay. Right after we hung up, they scored again.
Yeah, and yeah. Then I wrote you, I sent you a text. I was like, yeah, 2-2 now. What the fuck is wrong with this?
Yeah, and then we lost in a shootout.
Yeah.
I was contemplating just, you know, running away.
It was Tuukka, right?
It was Tuukka.
Yeah, but I don't fucking get that, man. Tuukka's just, like, he's insane when he's in the net.
He's the wall, man. He's the wall.
Yeah, but Tim Thomas, last year was the best goalie in all of hockey, and now this year, he couldn't stop.
Dude, wasn't that year he fucking, like, flipped on his head or something like that? That was the craziest fucking one I've ever seen. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it definitely hurts us about the Bruins right now.
Right now it seems like, you know, he couldn't stop a puck that's 8 feet tall, 5,000 pounds, and barely moving. I mean, I love Tim Thomas to death. I was great the day I got to meet him and get his autograph.
And it's great to, when they did the whole Fenway game and he got fucking put in for the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like a fucking thing waiting, but right now he's just, I don't know if he's just slacking off right now because he's going into the fucking Olympics or
what. He might be just like, he's giving it his all, but not like 100% all.
I guess so, but.
It's depressing.
It is.
It's fucking creepy.
Let's move on from hockey and let's go to something a little more exciting.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl.
Super Bowl!
Wow. Only a Frenchman would sing about the Super Bowl. So, earlier today, me, Blue, and Queen Baby Duck.
Sorry. I'm the king, motherfucker. I'm the king, baby duck, a quack smacking fuck, okay?
I heard the last king that was assassinated, that's why there's a queen.
Oh. Anyways.
Okay. So, we went to Blowjobs, I mean, BJ's Wholesale Club, to buy some wonderful food for our Super Bowl party, which we're not telling you where it's being held. We don't know.
Those coordinates are not being given.
All of a sudden, computers upload, satellites show up, and they find it.
It's in the bomb shelter! Fuck!
And the bomb shelter is at... Now, if you can read Morse code, you'll be at that party. Because tomorrow night, the Baltimore Colts... I'm sorry.
Indianapolis.
They're no longer in Baltimore. That was the last time... No, the first time they won the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. So now they're the Indianapolis Colts under...
Peyton Manning.
No.
Well, the coach, but...
Douchebag.
Wait. I'm sorry. He hasn't been informed he won Douchebag of the Year. That's after the Super Bowl he finds out. So let's keep that quiet.
Okay. Well, this airs after the Super Bowl, so...
Oh! The Douchebag of the Year, Peyton, I want to suck a penis, Manning, versus Who Dat Nation, Drew Brees, and the New Orleans Saints.
Job.
Now, this is a little rumor, but my buddy, he lives in the basement underneath the stairs of the Manning residence, because he's afraid, and he heard some arguing going on. Archie is rooting for the Saints over his son. Whoa. Well, you know, he was a saint for almost his entire
career.
True,
so he doesn't want to, like, go against his own colors.
Exactly. So he's rooting against his own blood. He said, "You already have a ring! Let my team have one!" So, you know, the biggest story is another ankle for another championship game. And no, Curt Schilling is not playing in the Super Bowl.
No.
This is Dwight Freeney and the torn ligament in his ankle on whether or not he'll play. Heath says, I did not have sexual relations. I'm sorry, wrong individual. I will be playing in the football game. I hope he doesn't.
Bullshit!
I love Dwight Freeney. I think he's one of the best defensive ends in the, you know, in all of football. And being an athlete myself, I would, you know, I really appreciate the way he plays. But I don't want him to play the Saints.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Nah.
So, I want to go into predictions a little bit.
Prediction!
Predictions.
Now, I do predict that, you know, the three of us might have the same answer, but let's see what goes on. Mr. Blue, who's winning the Super Bowl?
Okay, Mr. Green. What are the answers again? Is there a C? I don't know.
Okay, it's
fine. Like, fuck it, Saints. Saints. Okay. I call Saints. As atheist bastard I am, and I don't like religion. Saints, motherfucker.
Thank
Saints.
You.
Maybe get that fucking economy going back up down for the motherfucker of Louisiana. Right.
And that's also why I'm choosing the Saints too.
Hee hee.
Damn. I was trying to go with a joke, and I was trying to stop you.
No. It's
not because. New Orleans is a French town, okay?
No, when he said... Okay, we're going to edit this whole piece out real quick. When he said, is there an answer three? He's like, well, your choices are the Saints or terrorism. Do you want terrorists to win? But
no, I was going to say Ralph Nader was going to be the third one.
Right. Hey, I voted for Ralph Nader. I'll vote for him anytime.
Okay. Now, remember where this was so we can cut this out.
Oh, come on.
Well, just to piss everybody off, I'm choosing the commercials are going to win. Money! No, I'm kidding. The Saints are going to win.
Money! Well, seeing that they're fucking dropping about $3 million now for 30 seconds of air?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they've won already because of the fact of that. I mean, shit, man.
It's like $3 million for air for 30 seconds?
Yeah, 30 fuck seconds. Remember back in the day where it used to be $1 million?
Yep.
And we're like, holy shit, that was a lot of money. No, it's
a shitload of money.
Yes, I can't eat anything at the Super Bowl tomorrow. You know, they might charge me $3 million for 30 seconds of air.
Exactly.
You can't do that when Pandalicious is there, okay?
Oh, wait, I think I have to.
Then she'll never be with us again.
I'll close the door, too.
We love the panda.
Right. So keep everybody's predictions have been made.
Yes, and now let's move on into another realm of sports. Mixed martial arts. Now, last weekend, myself, Mr. Blue, and Mr. Quackers,
and the King,
the Duck,
King.
Of course, we watched Strikeforce, and we saw Herschel Walker in his MMA debut in a very impressive fight.
And he won.
Yes.
And yeah. I was impressed with the first two rounds, but the third round, when it was coming down to it, it was kind of like, what the fuck is he doing? Well, he lost his stamina, and I'm
he's 47 years old.
I don't give a shit.
How much stamina
this
do you
motherfucker's
think
jacked.
Yeah, he's like, boom, boom, boom.
Now, I saw some very impressive fights, but moving past that.
Yeah, you weren't falling asleep after. Anyway.
Shut up. Now, there's more fights to come tonight in UFC 109.
Yeah,
and I'm not paying for it.
Really want to see. You know, so probably, you know, watch it online or something. When Randy the Natural Couture takes on the Hammer Coleman.
Holy shit. That's a fucking good fight right there.
That's what I'm saying.
I wish I could pay for it, but I'm not that rich.
Now, if you add up the time that they've been alive, it equals 300 years, 19 days, 24 hours, and 7 minutes.
What do you mean 300 years?
I'm just making them be really, really old. No, it's actually closer to about 78 years old or something. Something around there. I don't have the exact ages of these gentlemen, but they're up there in age. So, I mean, watching two legends guys near the end of their career fight it out, I think is more exciting to me personally than these young guys who don't know much about the fight. These guys are seasoned veterans, and you know you're going to see a better fight on two guys who have been around the block.
Right.
Especially UFC Hall of Famer Randy the Natural Couture.
Cauliflower ear.
Yes. And
well, wait. So you pick on me when I'm singing, but you don't pick on him when he's singing.
I just went to make fun of him, and you cut me off. You cut off my making fun of.
Okay, well, whatever.
So I can't make fun of him more because you cut me off. Yeah. Let's move on.
Does it move on to the movies?
Yes, or? Let's move on to movie time.
Let's talk about From Paris with Love, a.k.a. A Vase of Coke.
Whoa. That was a great love story. John Travolta, a bazooka.
And then his gay lover, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Basically, yeah.
They fell in love with chess.
He's my partner.
No.
Partner.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, I heard he got really confused over the name. His Reese is his middle name, and Reese was his real name.
In the movie.
And he got really confused.
Yes.
And he crapped himself.
Especially in the scene where the guy just puts the gun in his mouth.
And pulls the trigger. Now, our good friend the Duck, me and Mr. Blue were having the conversation when he was walking towards us earlier from the, you know, because he ran to the little gentleman's
restroom.
And we both agreed that he kind of looked like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
It was creepy, man. Like, I know you look like, what's his name there? But you kind of, you're rocking, like, you got the same beard going on, and, no, not the same haircut, but I think you have the facial, it's not a bad thing, actually. Actually, a lot of the women dig him.
Yeah.
So going for you.
I'll give it to you.
He's like, well, since the women like it, yeah, you ladies, call the Duck. Especially if you're Asian.
Anyways.
But what's cool about this movie is, Blue Onion and I found this out over the week, it's from the same guy who directed one of Blue Onion's favorite movies.
District B-13, or Benuela 13, if you're French. But yeah, this actually did a better job because it had more money backing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the guy did the newer movie, but I don't know if his name's on it yet, or quite yet on the IMDb list, but, it seemed like this one moved smoother. I mean, hell, this has, like, the high-end actors, where the other movie has the guy who's a stuntman.
Pretty much.
So it was just impressive.
Although, I think he should add just a couple scenes of parkour into it to make it more of his style.
Or even brought in Cyril Raffaelli just to do some fight scene. Otherwise, he probably did some choreography for the fucking movie or something.
Possibly.
In the background. But, I mean, it was just...
Especially in the scene where John Travolta is chasing what's-her-name around...
Yeah.
On the roof.
Oh, right. I can't remember her name, but... But, yeah, that was
Carolina?
Yeah, Caroline.
Caroline,
yeah.
But it was more or less on the whole setup where... Like, John Travolta's character didn't have style when he was going down. He was just like, plop, plop,
Truthfully, that shows that he's, just that power guy and not that finesse kind of person.
Yeah, well, but this is a kind of also showing that, like, maybe Travolta's maybe getting a tad bit old for these movies, but...
Well, he is quite a bit old.
Yeah,
he's not Danny Zuko anymore. Okay?
And this is actually the first movie that he's done since his son's passing.
Basically, yeah.
Well, Old Dogs came out.
Well, he'd already filmed that before Jet passed. But actually, truthfully, in my opinion, this is the best movie John Travolta has done since Pulp Fiction. His acting.
I can't really recall any of the action type movies that he's done, really.
Face Off,
yeah. Maybe even, what was that other one that we were watching the other day? The Broken Arrow.
That
was a good movie.
Good action movies, but this one kind of just like. Took the case, like, yeah.
This is the best movie I think he's ever done
since Pulp Fiction.
But, I mean, Pulp Fiction's a classic that he did.
They even referenced it in this movie, From Paris with Love.
Yeah, which is kind of fun.
It was like undertone, but you knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, but it's getting to the point where, like, I can't believe the theater that we were in over in Revere. It was fucking horrible. It was wicked small.
Revere. Right here, Irish
Revere!
Oh!
But anyways, with that whole setup, it was like, it was horrible. I think it would have been better if we had the money just to buy out that whole place and have it to ourselves, because the motherfuckers that were in there, I really just wish I fucking had a silenced weapon or something, just a fucking...
Who brings their 3-year-old to a movie like that?
An action movie.
Yet again, with the fucking rappers, the woman right next to me was just like, crinkle, 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 and I'm just like, lady, I just wanted to, like, turn over and, like, just grab her by the collar and just punch her in the face. And I know this woman is old, and I gotta respect my elders, but for fuck's sake, can you
If you worked where I work, you would say, fuck these elders.
Everybody's your elder.
Well, no, but in this sense, it's like, I had her on my right side, I had another guy on my back right side, and I had another one on my back left side, all fucking crinkling the sounds. Hey. I had surround sound and crinkle.
Listen, I had this girl behind me. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. You and the vagina. I know.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. I had that girl behind me. She was with that dude that was crinkling.
Yeah, well, I...
And she was crinkling.
To herself.
Oh, dude.
I didn't know they had crinkly paper down there. But anyways.
I don't know, dude. Would you put wax paper down?
But yeah, I definitely, for ratings...
Just to bake?
I don't know. What do we give the ratings for this sucker?
I would give it 2 thumbs up. I liked it. You know, I really enjoyed it. It's a fun movie to see, but it's not going to be like one of those movies that's going to hit my top 10 list or win awards or something, but...
What?
It's a fun movie. It's a very, very fun movie.
Well, I do agree with him. I do give them the 2 thumbs up, but it's just one of those movies that I think it's like... Seeing that it's from Europa, I don't think Hollywood has respect for Europa yet at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And more
Travolta
or less...
Travolta will win an award for his performance...
Probably, most likely, and even
Jonathan Rhys Meyers
will get supporting actor or something like that, even though he was supposed to be the main character.
He was supposed to, but he got overshadowed. But I think that's what they wanted.
Yeah. But in your retrospect of the rating.
2 thumbs up. I say yes because of Europa, you know, that he doesn't have the respect that he deserves, but those two actors will get awards for their performances.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, as much as I like Europa, it's not there yet. I mean, that's like
just won't kiss their ass.
Well, yeah, but then I mean, that's kind of like there's going to be the Hollywood East that's going to be made in like Cape Cod and shit like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that needs to earn its own respect because it hasn't been around since fucking what the 1900s.
Yeah,
basically. So or once film started, so it's got to get and reach up to its respectful amounts.
I mean, basically, Hollywood East is already working its way up there.
But it's already been done.
It's been done, but building the studio itself has just been shit problem after shit problem.
Yeah. But I mean, look at the movies that's come out of it. Surrogates.
Edge of Darkness.
Edge of Darkness.
The Departed.
The Departed.
Good Will Hunting. The upcoming one with Tom Cruise and, what's her name, Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
Shutter Island, yeah. That was actually
The Invention of Lying.
Marblehead,
no fucking way.
Yeah. That's what?
Body of Lies, a little bit was filmed there.
Yeah, that's true.
Invention of Lying was filmed in Lowell.
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah.
Burlington Mall, yeah.
I don't know. You could just literally just go down the list. There's so many fucking movies that have been done here now.
I mean, and even
but it's just
past.
That it's now it's like it's trying to, you know, they're trying to ignite it now so that there's more movie setups around.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, you know, characteristics around Massachusetts. I mean, hell, even New England. You got a lot of movies that were done in, like, the prisons and stuff like that were here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, tons of the Stephen King movies.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the man's from around here. So
yeah, he's a Bangor guy.
So.
Whoa, dude. I don't want to know that he bangs whores. Come on.
Bangor.
Bangor, Maine.
No, Bangor. I know.
Yeah, Bangor. You bastard.
I have a lead pipe right there. You want me to use that?
Go ahead if you want to buy a new pipe.
Let's talk about The Hurt Locker, the other movie.
The movie we just got finished watching.
Okay, well,
first off, tell people what The Hurt Locker means.
It means it's a locker of hurt. Okay, it's basically, there's one part in the movie where they pull a little box out from underneath Jeremy Renner's character, his last name is James, his bed, and there's little devices that he's taken from, you know...
Every fucking bomb thing he done.
A bunch of bombs. Like, a lot of the bigger ones. And basically, The Hurt Locker, it goes into that.
You see, when I first heard the title of this movie, not knowing anything whatsoever, I thought it was going to be, like, some high school bully drama.
Or some kind
of... It's like, oh, he's pushing me in the locker. It's a hurt locker. Oh.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is just one of those badass movies and stuff like that.
I don't think it's badass. I just feel it's real. It's real.
No, it had that
badass.
He walked
up to a bomb.
He walked up to a bomb, and then he got to the point where he's just like, fuck it. If I'm going to die, I want to die comfortably and take it off.
Good point. Good point.
I mean... That was fucking hardcore. If you saw the shells that were in the back of the trunk on this one, the fucking things were huge. But, like, those guys have, like, fucking big balls, or otherwise they're just idiotic altogether. Just because of the fact is the guy was just like, hey, why don't we take the robot? Fuck it, I'm walking up to it.
Yeah. Now, me and Blue went to go see this a few months ago. Actually, quite a while ago.
Well, yeah, like back maybe by the end of the summer, starting in the fall. Somewhere around there, I can't remember.
We saw that it was in the movie theater. We go to see it the day we go to
Ed
see
Revere
it.
Ed Revere fucking fucked up again!
And it ended the day before.
Yeah. They didn't can it on the fucking, on the, you know, online and stuff like that. So we ended up going to go
see
it.
Douchebag!
Douchebag for Revere.
Then I ordered it. And the person didn't send it.
They
made their mistake.
Quote unquote sick.
And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot, and blah, blah, blah. So I got my refund, ordered it from a place in California, got it, and we watched it actually about an hour ago. It ended.
Better late than never.
Now, basically, you follow three men who are over in Iraq, part of Bravo Company Bomb Disposal Unit. And they find bombs that are kind of huge.
Yeah, they keep they like while they were in the from the movie,
the ones that were attached to each other.
Yeah. Like, they were basically showing the ones that they kept on finding, the massive ones.
It's the Octobomb.
Yeah, that one.
Octomom?
Oh no, my God. Not her again. No. But anyways, the whole setup with the that's not right. The whole setup with the bombs and everything like that was just insane, like what these guys have to actually deal with. I mean, they were actually taking it from probably most likely true stories from the actual front line of how these bombs are created, or, you know, what these guys have to deal with in an everyday life. And the first guy, well, the first setup with the three guys, I don't know if you guys get to see this movie, you're gonna, well, not to ruin the surprise, but it's pretty fucking horrific what happens, but it's really friggin' crazy. The whole setup where, just like the fucking Iraqi people just like to sit around and like watch everything that the Americans are doing, like it's their own personal fucking show. And there's especially the part where he's working on the big fucking car bomb that we're talking about that caught on fire. He fucking like the other two guys are like watching everything, which I felt like, why the fuck don't they have more guys? And they're, like, looking around, and all of a sudden, you know, you see the Iraqi, like, people just, like, sitting there staring at him. Then they see him up in one of the mosque towers. Then they see, like, a guy sitting there literally filming them. He's like, this motherfucker's gonna put us on YouTube! So, I was just like, fuck, man, that is really, like, intense shit right there, because you don't know what the fuck they're gonna do. Like, a guy came out of nowhere, literally, and shot at them.
Yeah.
But I do like when that fucking, the commander or colonel or whatever the fuck came up to him, he's just like... He's like, did you take care of the bomb? Yeah. He's just like, you're a crazy son of a bitch, aren't you? Yeah.
I want to shake your hand.
How many bombs did you defuse? Oh, yeah, no. Nah, 837. And he's just like, 837, that's some kind of record. I think, yeah, that kind of shows, like, what those guys have to go through and, like, that whole setup over there. And it's just, it really sucks. But it's, you know, something you gotta do. And of course, at the starting of the movie, it says war is a drug. And basically, it shows that right at the, near the end, because he goes back to his normal life and he's gotta go back into it. Starts over the 365 days all over again.
Yeah, no shit.
And it's fucking strong, but I definitely, with the ratings, two thumbs straight to
fuck. One of the best films of 2009, hands down.
Truthfully, it's like one of those emotional movies you watch and you actually feel for these guys.
Because you feel like you know these people.
Exactly. You know, you feel the pain.
Well, that's the beauty of it, because that's what the director, I believe, was it she? Because
Wait, wait, you ready for this? It is James Cameron's ex-wife.
Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah. So with Catherine Bigelow right there, she definitely was able to put you in the seat and able to make you feel like you were comfortable with these guys because you thought you were sitting in the car next to them.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was just that impressive.
And it's definitely one of those movies that it's not meant to look Hollywood. Yeah. It's meant to look real.
Almost like a Blair Witch Project, but not as shaky.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not as shitty.
Little known about the director, Catherine Bigelow. Now, like I said, she was married to James Cameron.
Zip, zip, zip.
And now they're both up for the same award,
mm-hmm.
which we'll be covering soon. But she remarried another actor, Deuce Bigelow.
No!
No, I'm kidding.
Fucking douchebag.
I had fun with the last name.
Douchebag!
Whoa.
Wait, douchebag.
Where's Peyton Manning?
Douchebag. No, I'm talking about you, Anvil.
Hey, don't say that one more time, because after three times he shows up.
All right.
All right.
No, like I have Mary. To say it in a mirror.
No, that's only Bloody Mary. You say him anywhere, and he'll show up.
I thought that was the Sandman.
No, that was Candyman.
All right.
Now if we turn on the TV and Peyton Manning's there, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I turned on this first commercial.
I'm Peyton Manning for DirecTV. I'm Peyton Manning for Sony Television. I'm Peyton Manning for Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm Peyton Manning for Tampax Pearl. If you need extra protection, I only trust
him. Especially when you're in the pocket. Giggity, giggity, goo.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, that was wrong.
I know.
I'm sorry, everybody.
We apologize.
Now, speaking of awards and directors, the list of the Academy Award nominations was released this past week.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
No, this was released on
Yahoo. No, allegedly.
Allegedly. And I figured the three of us would get together and we would give our picks for all the categories. Well, technically, not all the categories, just the ones that we're really familiar with.
Yeah, because we've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, about seven categories out of the 24 that were kind of
seven.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, they make no sense to us, so we're not covering them.
Foreign language movies could bite me.
Well, it's not that they can bite us.
Yes, they can bite me.
Come on. I like foreign movies. I'm not sure.
I'm not going to sit there. When I watch a movie, I want to kick back, relax, enjoy it, not read. If I want to read, I'd open a book.
Oh, come on.
That's what books are for.
Guess he's never seen Amelie.
No.
No.
With all the sex in it?
No.
Oops.
If I were to watch a movie full of sex, I'd watch a porno.
Fine.
Fine. All right, let's get this shit started. What's the first one?
Let's work our way up. Let's first talk about visual effects.
So number 24, right?
Number 24. We've got Avatar, District 9, and Star Trek.
Ladies?
No! I'm not going to start with that one.
Go.
Fine, fuck, I'll take District 9.
I take District 9, too, because I felt while Avatar was supposed to be, very shiny and,
pristine and, fucking everything. Cute and shit, but
District
it was maybe a bit too much.
District 9 looked real.
It gave us a little bit more realistic.
I disagree. I'm giving it to Avatar.
Okay, fine, then.
Okay, fine.
You give it to Avatar, bitch.
Whore.
Okay. Well, let's move to 21 then.
All right. We have makeup for Il Divo, Star Trek, and The Young Victoria.
I'll take Star Trek.
I will take Star Trek as well.
I do agree, and I do take Star Trek.
Because amazing appearance from all the characters, from all the aliens and whatnot.
And my girlfriend's in the movie.
Yeah, of course.
Zoe, come on.
Oh, she's fine.
Giggity, giggity, goo.
Yeah.
20.
Film editing. We have Avatar, District 9, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, and Precious, based on a novel push by Sapphire.
Yeah,
which is a long fucking title. I'm just going to say Precious from now on.
Yeah.
That's what most people don't say.
Let's, I don't know if you guys are going to agree with this one, but I picked District 9 again.
Of course you
do. What about the King? Come on, King.
I would have to give it to Inglourious Basterds, because I thought they did a great job with the editing together, especially with the little time that he had to edit it. Because Quentin Tarantino edited this movie within 5 weeks before he could submit it to the Cannes Film Festival.
Well, that was the one thing that was killing me, was that first part of the movie. How it took, fucking 20 minutes to get through the first chapter.
It
felt like it was forever.
I felt it added to the tension.
Yeah, well, it did add a little bit to the tension, but what do you have to say, Anvil?
Avatar.
Avatar?
Okay. Avatar.
Okay.
Just because it was 3D. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's skip down to 15.
Yep, we have original score, Avatar.
Yeah, I'm still in this category for original score, baby.
Fantastic Mr. Fox for Alexandra Desplat. The Hurt Locker for Marco Beltrami and Buck Sanders. Sherlock Holmes, Hans Zimmer, and Up for Michael Giacchino.
I definitely have to say, on my part, I took Avatar because I thought the music was great. It worked just fantastic with the movie. Fine, I know I'm a slut. Fine, I'll slut my ass on the street.
I said whore, not slut.
I don't care.
Shut up.
I have to go with Hans Zimmer for Sherlock Holmes because I felt that the way the soundtrack sounded, it just fit perfectly with him, especially the out-of-tune piano and many of like, the elements of the film.
So how the soundtrack sounded, that's funny. Okay, I do go with him with Sherlock Holmes and Hans Zimmer.
Because he is a fantastic score writer. He's the guy who did The Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. And
Hans Zimmer?
Yeah.
He did. He also did Black Hawk Down. He did a couple of other ones. He's done amazing fucking music for movies.
He's even done the Wallace and Gromit movie, which was actually a pretty damn good score to that film.
All right, on to number 14.
Okay, sound editing. We've got Avatar, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, Star Trek, and Up.
I took Star Trek on this one. I felt that they did a great job with that on the sound. It a lot of the stuff came together and it worked. I loved how they did this movie. It was a really great addition to it, even though a lot of people were like, "That's bullshit. Why did they have to do this? They ruined it." And Spock was in on it. I fucking think that they did a great job with that setup and a lot of the actors they picked. Mm-hmm.
I have to go with Avatar in this one because, especially with all the creatures that were in this film, that they had to actually make up sounds for creatures that didn't exist.
Dude, they made up their whole language for the fucking movie.
Yeah, that too.
It's fucking impressive.
I could make up my own language if I wanted to.
Yeah, but it would take you, like, what, 7 years to do it?
No.
Basically.
Inglourious Basterds is for me.
Really?
When they were shooting Hitler in the face, you could actually hear the chunks of flesh ripping away.
Yeah, I give them on that one. That was pretty true.
Thank you.
They did a good job, and especially the bombs.
Yeah.
I love the bombs. All right, number 13. Lucky number 13.
Let's see. That is Sound Mixing, Avatar, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, Star Trek, and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
I took Transformers because of the fact that I didn't see it anywhere else on the actual thing. Because Transformers needed a little bit of, you know, somewhat out there. I thought they did a great job in the movie. I know Shia LaBeouf is kind of a douchebag right now, but I don't mind the movie so much. They did a great job. They added a couple funny little characters into it, and it worked for me. I thought it was great. So
I would have to go with Star Trek on this one because I felt that the way that the elements of the film sounded just beyond the whole sci-fi thing. I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe it. The movie sounded amazing, okay? It was everything that a lot of people that were into Star Trek could enjoy, and people that aren't fans. I'm not that big of a fan of Star Trek, but even I was impressed by the way it sounded.
Well, I have to go with Mr. Blue on this one with Transformers. Because I like Transformers. Megan Fox is hot.
Yeah, she is hot, but I don't know, man. I just don't know. She's going to get to that point where she just goes past the Jolie stage.
You do know that she makes all of her boyfriends get tattoos of her just so they know that who's the boss.
Fucking owned her. Pwned. Pwned by the man.
I'd be the asshole on our first date. I'd get her so drunk, drag her to a tattoo parlor and have her get my name tattooed.
No, not her name, her face.
No, my name will be tattooed on her body.
Yeah, but
right across. Owned by
Anvil.
Yeah, Anvil. Right on it.
Alright, well, let's go to number 12.
Cinematography, Avatar, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, and The White Ribbon.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that Harry Potter hasn't been mentioned much in this fucking list, but...
That's good.
Yeah, that is good for mostly my part to say on that, because I know too many people that are just like, Harry Potter! I love Harry Potter! Harry Potter!
Gorgeous. What?
Ew. I've read all the books 500 times, man.
Now, I liked the movies. I just had no interest in reading the books.
Yeah, I read the book of the one of the books.
To read.
I read the one of the books and like survived maybe 15 pages, and I was just like, I don't know what the fuck this means. Fuck this book, and I tossed it aside. And I'm probably gonna use that to burn and warm myself in the winter in the near future.
All right. Well, actually,
but you know, for this pick that I for cinematography, I did Avatar.
I did Avatar too.
Okay. Okay.
What did you get? Well,
when they made me read, you know, Harry Potter, I refused to read it, so I had somebody slap me in the head with it a few times, and I think I learned more from getting hit by the book than anything.
Yeah.
But I went with Hurt Locker.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Well, I've just felt with the Avatar setup, I mean...
Just with everything they had to do?
Well, just the setup where I've probably explained it a couple times now on the podcast, but doing the actual recording of this was pretty impressive with the stage. They actually used the actors instead of just... had him stand at a fucking lectern table and just fucking...
Read it.
Well, but I do say the Hurt Locker, fucking, yeah. they did a beautiful job.
Just the way that these characters came together, the fear.
With the limited amount of money that movie had, I'd say that one and Avatar are the two probably front runners for this.
So it's like the guy and his ex-wife going neck and neck here.
Basically.
Actually, they're up near the top, too.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
them two go against each other a few times in this.
How about we go with number 11 now?
Art direction: Avatar, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, 9, Sherlock Holmes and the Young Victoria.
We're not talking about 9, the one that's cartoonish,
right?
We're talking about that fucking messed up movie that was
with I'll Drink Your Milkshake.
Oh no! Don't do that again. No! We have nightmares.
I'm drinking.
No, 9 wasn't with that movie. Yeah, damn.
But it's with him in it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thank you, no more.
All right, well, anyways, number 11, I picked Sherlock Holmes. I thought it was just the right kind of amount to put the art section together. It felt like you were back in the actual, like, late 1800s, early
1900s. That era. And I loved how they just fit a little bit of the elements of steampunk into it, too. And it just fit right in place with the world of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I mean, this is most likely the whole time where, like, the Industrial Revolution is coming in and Sherlock Holmes is trying to fucking always design something, you know, some new invention to help, you know, with the everyday life. And
or try to kill the dog again.
Yeah. He's like, don't worry, I didn't kill the dog. He's just in a deep coma. But anyways, what'd you feel on that one? Number 11.
I already said it.
Yeah, you said Sherlock.
Oh, well, I agreed with all of you.
Oh, okay, well then.
Oh, terrific. Hooray, we agreed on something.
We agreed on 2 things.
Oh, yeah, but anyways. Number 10.
Animated feature film. We have Coraline, Fantastic Mr. Fox, The Princess and the Frog, The Secret of Kells, and Up.
I know I didn't see it, but I understood a lot of the stuff from Up and from me watching side stuff on the videos on YouTube or something like that to understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. And maybe once in a while the late night HBO first look setups or some shit. And that actually intrigued me more with how the video would have gone if I saw it. But to you.
I agree, because I was able to watch this movie last night. The first 10 minutes of Up... It breaks your heart as to what happens between Carl and his wife, and it's really sad.
No.
It's touching.
No.
But everybody will like this movie because underneath the sadness, you'll find your humor, you'll find the lightheartedness, and it's a beautiful movie.
It you know, hold on 1 second. I just have to interrupt you. It breaks the heart, not jiggles the fucking man booby.
Well,
all right, Anvil? No.
He said it breaks my heart and he went like this. I'm like...
Yeah, breaks the heart like that.
Yeah, but he doesn't have man boobies. He's skinny. Mm-hmm. He's not fat like us.
But I will say this. There's one movie that's mentioned in here I haven't seen. I saw a trailer of it and it looks awesome. The Secret of Kells. It's with Brendan Gleeson from Bruges.
I didn't like it.
Secret of Kells. Oh, yeah, that's right. You were we were doing this on a radio show.
On demand.
But I didn't get to
it's
see
impossible,
it.
Because it doesn't come out of theaters until March.
Really?
You're thinking of The Secret of Bees.
Sure.
A positive.
Okay. Most likely, yeah.
Well, I picked Coraline.
That was going to be my pick until I watched Up last night.
Well, Up yours.
you douchebag. Anyways.
But I will say the claymation in that movie was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Number 9.
Original screenplay, Mark Boll for The Hurt Locker, Quentin Tarantino for Inglourious Basterds, Alessandro Cavo and Oren Moverman for The Messenger, Joel and Ethan Coen for A Serious Man, Bob Peterson, Peter Docter, and Tom McCarthy for Up.
For original screenplay, I picked Mark Bull from The Hurt Locker. It seemed to work that way. I mean, I love the Inglourious Bastards setup. I love all the other movie setups that they have. Basically, it's just this one just really hit just what I was looking for. I mean, I know I just watched it a little while ago, but it's what I've needed.
Okay,
I have to go with Inglourious Bastards, not just because it was an awesome script and just because it was the alternate way of looking at World War II that we've been looking for, but the way Quentin Tarantino writes it. I've seen what this script looked like. He fucking writes it in prose. It's beautiful how he writes it. It's so descriptive.
Well, especially, you gotta love the one where he fucking baseball bats the fucking Nazi and screams, "It's out of the park at Fenway!
I'm Kenny fucking Williams! The crowd is on their feet! The ball is on Lansdowne Street!
Fuck yeah!"
Eli Roth, baby.
Oh man, that fucking great. That is a great one.
But I'll give it to Quentin Tarantino for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, I didn't know which way to go because I liked Quentin Tarantino and I liked, you know, my
buddy. So you're bisexual on this one, okay?
No.
Yes.
So
yes,
I did settle on Quentin Tarantino.
Okay, all right.
Because I really enjoyed watching Hitler lose his face. Gone.
That, have you ever read what his screenplays are like?
Yes.
That and the whole setup where they did the film, the exploding film, yeah. Because of how, yeah, that was impressive. I like that one. Mm-hmm.
That's why I gave it to him.
Okay.
Number 8.
Adapted screenplay. Neil Blomkamp and Terry Tatchell for District 9. Nick Hornby for In Education. Jesse Strong, Simon Blackwell, Armando Iannucci, and Tony Rose for In the Loop. Jeffrey Fletcher for Precious, Jason Reitman and Sheldon Turner for Up in the Air.
Could you repeat that by
engine? No. No.
Anyways, number 8, I picked District 9 because when I went into this movie, I kind of was just like, what the fuck am I expecting from this? Am I expecting kind of like a whole setup where I thought it was going to be, you know, is this going to be the America and Mexican border kind of setup? Or,
of
you know,
you
because...
would.
Because of the setup that was going on here was, it was basically Africa, the aliens are like hovering over this part of Africa, and the UN comes in, and they're trying to control everything, and, you know, they got these aliens to come down, and they look like cockroaches, and you're trying to figure out what the fuck's going on, and you finally try to get into that whole thing where you're like, okay, what is going to happen with this movie? And then when you finally go to see what's going on and how the corruption was, and you could relate to what was going on at the time where, you know, we're dealing with the, you know, gas and oil prices, people like, you know, being prejudiced against people that are from either a different part of the planet or even a different world. So it's more or less, I felt that was a really good part of that.
I agree, and I felt the way that it was portrayed, it made it seem like this actually happened. It made it look like it was a documentary. It made it seem like this was actually going on down in South Africa, and the way it was told was just near perfect.
Yeah,
and it was original.
So. I like the whole following of the main character there with how they did the camera setups. But what do you have to say, Angel?
So you went with District 9 too?
Yeah.
Well, I went with Neil Blomkamp and Terry Tatchell with District 9 as well. So that's the third thing we've actually agreed on. But yeah. I want to feel proud and actually say their names right.
Yeah, I didn't want to write down the names. It was too much for me.
I only wrote down the names.
Number 6.
For Best Director, James Cameron for Avatar, Catherine Bigelow for The Hurt Locker, Quentin Tarantino for Inglourious Basterds, Lee Daniels for Precious, and Jason Reitman for Up in the Air.
This one hurts me to say it, but James Cameron. I think it's more or less, it was along the lines of how he was able to put everything together in this movie, especially with doing the directing. This is like the most creative way to do this whole setup where they had the stage, and he was able to take this special screen and where the camera's pointed or wherever he pointed that, he was able to see it in kind of like how it's going to be designed when the movie comes out. So I felt that was a very innovative setup with the directing on his part. Mm-hmm.
I have to go with Quentin Tarantino again for Inglourious Basterds because
yes, you do.
The way that he has his actors get into these characters' heads is phenomenal. He actually, the way he talks to the to the actors. He doesn't talk to them as the actors. He talks to them as if they're the characters. Like, he will literally go up and just say, okay, Hitler, here's what you have to do.
Yeah.
He makes sure that they stay in their parts. That they don't, you know, lose track of where they are and what they have to... And, well, they have to make sure what they know what they have to do. But they get him so engulfed that they literally become the character, and that takes a lot of work for a director to do.
Okay.
It takes balls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I picked James Cameron for two reasons. I think he did a great job with Avatar, and because of him, The Hurt Locker was made, because when he was married to Kathy Bigelow, he left part of his creative seed inside of her.
You bet. So what you really mean is Hurt Locker.
No. I chose James Cameron.
Okay, all right. Because
I thought Avatar was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to make the joke because they were married.
Okay.
All right, number five I was kind of iffy about, but...
Yeah, let's start. Supporting actress. We got Penelope Cruz from 9, Vera Farmiga from Up in the Air, Maggie Gyllenhaal from Crazy Heart, Anna Kendrick for Up in the Air, and Monique for Precious.
Gaty, 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 go! No, I'm sorry.
Mr. Blue, who was your choice?
All right, you know what? I just picked on hotness, because I didn't understand what the fuck these movies were.
Oh, you picked Penelope Cruz because she's hot.
Yeah, I did. You called it. Penelope Cruz. I picked Penelope Cruz. No! I know she's one of the top, like, three or four Spanish women that I'd probably spend the rest of my life with. Uh-huh. That's on the list, and then I'm done with Spanish women. I'm done.
And done. Then you'll meet about 10 more.
Done.
And then you'll meet
you
more.
You stop it, King.
Okay?
Before I say my pick, I've got to say that Melanie Laurent, for her role in Inglourious Basterds, was seriously overlooked. She played the character of the woman who actually comes up with the idea of burning down the theater.
Yeah, well, she was originally one of the people that was in the first part of the chapter.
Yeah.
That was under the building and got shot at, and she ran away and she kind of came back to bite everybody in the ass.
But since she's not nominated, sadly, I've got to go with Monique for her Precious because of her portrayal as an abusive mother.
Have you seen the movie Precious?
I've seen enough clips to know how good of an actor she was in this movie.
I saw that movie. I didn't enjoy it.
So then who'd you pick?
Well, I went with Maggie Gyllenhaal.
And I like her, too. I will say that.
Is that Jake Gyllenhaal's, like, sister or something?
Yes.
And she was also in Batman.
Does she have the creepy eyes?
No.
Okay.
She was in The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. But that's still Batman.
Yes.
Wait. So did she play, what's her name? She replaced Katie Holmes? Or?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, her?
Yes.
Fuck, if I knew that.
I know.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Mm,
sorry.
Okay, let's move on.
Supporting actor, we have Matt Damon for Invictus. We have Woody Harrelson for The Messenger. We have Christopher Plummer for The Last Station. Stanley Tucci for The Lovely Bones, and Christoph Waltz for Inglourious Basterds.
I picked Christoph Waltz. I picked him for The Inglourious Basterds because he was inglorious at the same time. He was just fucking amazing.
I picked him too. He was the Jew hunter. You hated him, but you just couldn't help but like him at the end.
Yes.
Okay, see, up until last week, I would have agreed with you two. Yes, I went against you too. But I saw another movie last week that I actually thought was really good. And
that's on there?
It went along with the book.
No, come on.
I went with Stanley Tucci for The Lovely Bones.
He played the murderer, right?
Yes. Great job. Now, I've read the book because, as everybody knows, I actually enjoy reading because I don't go to college and it's not forced upon me.
Fuck you, buddy!
So I can read whenever I feel like.
Yeah, well, you know, that's probably going to be me later on after, like, maybe a couple years after college where I'm just like, hey, I can actually read at my own leisure, not, you have to read this chapter by the next day. Fucking 500 pages! Bite me!
So, I actually had a chance to see the movie, and I really enjoyed it. It was a good movie, for what it was.
All right.
So I give it to Stanley Tucci.
On to number three!
Best actress, we have Sandra Bullock for The Blind Side, Helen Mirren for The Last Station, Carey Mulligan for An Education.
And Mulligan.
Gabri Sidibe for Precious, and Meryl Streep for Julie and Julia.
Oh, yeah, I love that Marilyn, Marilyn Streep.
Actually, she did a good job
in
that movie.
She's fucking sexy.
She is.
For her age, she's fucking sexy.
In a creepy way.
I think it's because it's like that whole Fight Club thing, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. More or less, like, the whole match. Never mind, just watch the movie, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Anyways, but who I really actually picked, and I fucking hate to say it, was Sandra Bullock, but that was because I wanted to give props to the whole fucking Blindside, because it was such a great movie, and I think that should have been put up for more nominations in this motherfucking list. That's the only fucking part of it. Well, besides maybe one of the next ones. That's maybe two fucking things out of this whole 24 list that was put in. Mm-hmm. That fucking pisses me off. Because it was such a heart fucking felt story. So, that's what I gotta say about that. What about you, King?
I would have to go Meryl Streep with Julie and Julia because she was able to portray Julia Child perfectly. Like, she was Julia Child. That's how good she was. It was kind of similar to when, what's her name, when she was playing, she was in The Aviator. She just got the...
Oh, I can't remember the name of her. But was that... Oh, no, I'm thinking about somebody else. But anyways, the whole setup was, you know, I think Julia Child would have came out of her grave and...
No, no, no.
You know, applauded and said, "You did a lovely job. Yes. I'm gonna go lay back down.
Let's have a trinket. Smooth vermouth. That's my grave."
But anyway, Meryl Streep, Julie and Julia. I felt she did a great job portraying the cooking legend herself.
Okay,
lovely.
Me personally, I could have went with either one of you.
Okay, so what did you go with?
Wait, shut up.
No,
I'll explain.
No.
If King can explain, I can explain. Thank you.
Yes. No.
So, I thought Meryl Streep did a really great job as Julia Child. Because I remember as a kid, you used to, you know, throw on the TV and there she'd be with Yan Can Cook and all that stuff.
Welcome to Julia Child. It's the another cooking star.
Welcome to the French Chef.
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm a football player. And I have to go with the touching football story of Michael Orr and give it to Sandra Bullock.
Bitch.
Fuck you. You chose it.
No,
too.
I know, but I'm just saying, God damn it, Sandra Bullock, you couldn't have kept the fucking, you know, southern accent to save your life.
Yeah.
She fucking murdered
it. That's probably the only reason why
I do bet it all comes down, I bet Meryl Streep will get it.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, number two.
I think we all might agree on this one.
We have
Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart, George Clooney for Up in the Air, Colin Firth for A Single Man, Morgan Freeman for Invictus, and Jeremy Renner for The Hurt Locker.
Blue.
Jeremy Renner.
King.
I have to go with Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart.
Oh, you had to break
you
up the
trio.
You
broke it, you motherfucker!
You broke the trio.
Yes, I broke the trio.
Yeah, but he can sing. I have to give it to him. Yeah,
he didn't become an actor, he would have made an awesome country singer.
Well, of course, I'm going with Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. So two out of three ain't bad.
No, but I actually really enjoyed him. A few things I've seen him, including SWAT.
SWAT.
He played a good bad guy in that.
He's done so many movies. He's like 28 Weeks Later.
Now let's see if we can all at least get the final one taken care of.
I will want to say this. I felt who was snubbed for Best Actor was Larry David for Whatever Works. I felt, even though that it was kind of like a character similar to his own in Curb Your Enthusiasm, just that whole concept of like tragic comedy with his character just fit perfectly.
Yeah.
And he just played it so well. He kind of reminded me, like, of an older Blue Onyx.
Oh!
That's a compliment, man.
But I'm not Jewish.
Oh!
I don't think he is in this movie.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, I can understand from the comedic standpoint. I mean, you guys, King here wants me to hop up on the stage in Salem and fucking start spitting jokes on the fucking mic, and I don't know if I could do it.
I would.
I don't have the balls. I don't know if I have the balls.
I think all we need to do is have you two go up together.
Yep, is
holding hands. So, that would be fantastic.
No matter what, if me and him are sitting there telling jokes back and forth, me and Blue, it's like nobody's there, and we're the funniest motherfuckers you'll ever hear.
Yeah, I'd have to fucking rip on him, and he'd rip on me. Either way, we'd have a good time. It's just I don't know what the fucking actual people in the crowd would feel about
all
that.
All of a sudden, we look over, we see somebody, we just start ripping on them, both of us going back and forth.
Because sometimes it's like you have to kind of warm up to us, you know? It's like you have to figure out what the fuck we're all about.
I would say you should talk to our good friend Pink Taco and get some advice from her about it.
I think we're going to go with our friend Tommy Boy. We've got another friend that's in the college and stuff like that. He's fucking hilarious, and he does his own stage setup too over at the Ghoula Ghoul. And he's done some green screen stuff, and he's actually maybe going to help us out with doing some more funny videos that we're going to put up on the website in the near future.
Which would be awesome.
I mean, I really think it'd be absolutely hilarious.
Fuck you, Elmo! Die! Die, bitch! Die!
Do I hear crickets chirping?
Elmo's gonna kick you in the fucking nuts!
Yes, he will. Anyways, number one. Number one.
Best picture. This is the first time where it's 10 movies. I think it's 10. Or there's more than 5 that have been nominated. You've got Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, and Education, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Precious, based on the novel Punished by Sapphire, Serious Man, Up and Up in the Air.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, I think that's 10.
That's a huge lich! Motherfucker!
Yeah, that's 10.
Damn. Well, for me, I had to put up The Hurt Locker. Put the icing on the cake for me. I have to say that altogether, that was one of the movies I was looking forward to, but it never got the spread of attention that it needed to. It didn't have the money backing for it. It was only able to go up in select theaters. It was only able to go up into, you know, like all the fucking Cannes film festivals.
It took forever to come to America.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the fucking thing that pissed me off. It's just like, you know, the movie, how it was made, and then it started hopping like all over the other countries except for America until it was like kind of too late.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely have to give it to The Hurt Locker.
Right. Well, basically, you know, there's a lot of great movies on here that's on this list. Fantastic movies. You know, but I'm really hoping to see Quentin Tarantino and Inglourious Bastards win this one because it's a little bit of the snub of Pulp Fiction not getting the proper dues back in 1994.
Right? Yeah, I definitely give it to you on that one because I don't think Pulp Fiction got any of its fucking credit that was due.
Yeah,
not even close.
It is a cult, you know, classic for us Bostoners and everybody around the world that has seen the movie. It's just one of those movies that
everybody quotes it and it's fantastic. But Inglourious Basterds also has its own following of its own. And it finally gave us a look at how World War II should have ended.
Yeah, of course if it was put in the hands of these rogue fucking crazy men.
Yeah.
Right. But after having said all that, I'm going for Inglourious Basterds, but I would be happy if anything but Avatar wins.
Well, I'm giving it to Hurt Locker.
Okay.
And I'm not explaining why. You should know.
All right. Thank you. Well, yeah. Okay, so that's our predictions. We'll have to check back and see who was right, who was wrong, and
I'll put it up on Excel!
Anvil was right on everything.
Oh.
But, yeah. Holy crap, we've already got an hour into this one.
God damn it, man. Alright, so what can we finish up with here?
Well, you got Splosion Man.
Oh, Splosion Man from games. Holy shit, we did do a fucking lot. What, you don't want to talk about The Simpsons?
We can save that for next week, or you can just write an article about it.
Yeah, either one. We could probably do a counteracting fucking article on that sucker.
Okay.
Anyways, for Explosion Man, I found that this was the week's deal, and I dropped the 400 Xbox Live points on this sucker, seeing that I had to pay for my renewal on my Xbox Live account. It was coming to that time of the year. I couldn't believe it was already a year, seeing that I've killed so many people on Call of Duty and all that other shit. But, it's amazing that a year can drop by that fucking fast.
It's been a miracle. It's been a very memorable year with all the deaths and all the really cool sniping.
Except for the douchebaggery, and I will be talking about that in one of my articles.
And me and Blue going back to back. Blue shooting people from back to back.
Yes, in the Army of Two. But anyways, back to Splosion Man. The Splosion Man is the fucking man. He is awesome. He is the craziest little stick fucking match figure motherfucker that you'll ever see. He's just fucking off the wall.
He's laughing and giggling. Like, he's just like, boom.
There's like one part where he's just like running. He's just like using his arms as like planes. He's like, yeah, 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 and fucking running up at people. And then you pull the trigger and he explodes and shit like that. And then there's like one where he's like running and he's got his hands up like this. And he's like, he's making the monkey sound. He's like, you know, really fucked up. It's just, it fucking keeps making me laugh. Because he's like, and he runs, and then you have him explode up onto a wall. He sticks to one wall, blow him up on the next part, and he gets up the walls and everything like that. And it's very impressive, like, with how the setup is. It kind of reminds me of Portal, except there's no gun. You're just fucking, you're the explosive that's bouncing all over the place, trying to get into these places to end that fucking level.
Now, do you have a minimum or maximum of explosions you can do?
There's a maximum of 3 right now. I'm not sure because I haven't gotten to complete the game. But I hope that there's a whole setup where you can actually do a little bit more. But there is a fucking cool setup where it does the...
Online multiplayer game.
Yes, there is an online multiplayer thing. But the thing that I was trying to say is that there's parts that help you where... If you go in front of these pitchers that are on there, it will drop an explosive barrel in specific places. And when you blow up, it will fucking launch you into certain places, like either straight up or sideways.
It's like the Donkey Kong barrels do.
Basically, yeah, exactly. So it's a really fun game. Sometimes it can get annoying, but if you've played it for a long time and then you're like, it will actually pop up on the screen, even though I think they shouldn't have done that in the first place, where it's, you fucked up. It's like it's basically said you fucked up. You know you haven't, you know, you've kind of like killed your guy too many times, so maybe you should skip to the next level. Like, it gives you the option to skip to the next level, which is kind of like, dude, I paid the 400 fucking points. I can do whatever the fuck I want, you know, kind of thing. But because sometimes you're like, okay, you blow him up, and then he gets to one point, you blow him up again. It's kind of like if you remember playing Sonic the Hedgehog, you go and then you reach those special bars and they like bloop over. It'd be like your rally point or your save point.
Get a checkpoint.
This has these checkpoints now too on this part, so it's like you get past a certain part and then you could go on to the next part, and if you die, you could go back to that part. But sometimes it feels like some of the checkpoint parts are too far apart,
mm-hmm.
and it's just some of the things you have to do is pretty fucking insane, but I definitely enjoy the game. 2 thumbs the way the fuck up. If you want to have some kind of fun Xbox Live arcade game, that's the one to fucking get. Awesome. That is one of the ones to get.
Awesome. Now, let's end the show with the band that Bluonic and I overheard this name on the radio. There's like this big local metal festival going on with a band called, and this name just caught my ear. Candy Stripper Death Orgy. They're a metal band from Newton, New Hampshire, and I took a listen to their stuff, and the first thing that popped into my head was Slayer, with a little bit of a New England flavor to it.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Actually, I almost like flipped out, because at one point, one of my friends that was a year ahead of me at high school that graduated, I thought he was actually in the band, because he was one of those crazy bassists that I knew, and he lives up in New Hampshire, and I was like, oh shit, he could have been on the band. No, he wasn't. I would have been fucking wicked impressed if he was. But that would have got us back to stage passes and reviews and shit. But no, like, this band is fucking crazy, and they felt like it's more homegrown towards us, because we're like, yeah, it's one of those bands. It's New England.
It's like a Killswitch Engage of sorts.
Yeah, exactly. It's what, you know, what we always look forward to. Like, yeah. Something fucking hardcore, and something that we can always get into. Like, you know, either driving around or like playing a video game. Football, you know, sports, anything like that will get us the
gym,
amped. Especially that's like one of those songs that will like get you fucking amped, and then like you're working out, and that keeps you going and stuff. I especially like sometimes to pop in like one of the headsets into my ear while I'm paintballing, and I'll just be like, I feel like I'm in the paintball game. I'm just like fucking running around, going bang 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 bang, I'm fucking everybody up and bunkering the shit out of people. But it's just like, this is one of those bands that's I want to hear, like, more of all the time.
Definitely.
I didn't get to listen to too much of it. The King played, you know, a song for me. And
you just got your laptop fixed.
Yes, I just finally got my laptop taken care of, because apparently the entire hard drive was fried and somehow I could still get it to work slowly. But, yeah, the music was really good. Me and Blue were mini mosh pitting until we forced the duck into it.
Yeah, so, it was
you kept spinning
in the
me
middle.
Around.
Yes.
We
spin you right round, baby, right round. Okay.
Fuck you, buddy. Fuck you.
Okay.
Oh.
And you know, while this band will probably never have a number one album on the Billboard charts, this band's gonna really go places. Kidney Stripper Death Orgy, I could see playing at many, many like metal festivals all across the world.
Wait, what's the name of the band again?
Kidney Stripper Death Orgy.
CSDO. It doesn't stand for really much anything in the long run, but I mean, yeah, that's a fucking good fucking band name. That was very creative on their part.
It catches your ear.
Is it Stripper or Striper?
Stripper.
Stripper. Like, pole, girl comes out, dances,
candy
tassels.
Well, because, you know, Candy Striper sounds, well...
Candy Striper?
Yeah. The people that used to go around and sell candy.
But
candy Stripers.
No, they called it Candy Stripper. That's how it was said on the radio.
Okay, I just figured it out. It's because it's both almost the same.
Candy Stripper, Striper. That's a very good question, because it's spelled with one P.
Ooh, yeah, that is a good... Oh, you might be... Okay, we can blame 100.3 for this because they said Candy Stripper Death Orgy.
Well, did you get that from the actual website?
I got it from the actual website.
Did you might miss fucking type that? Anyway.
Maybe.
We're human. We
apologize to you guys. If it's Candy Stripper or Candy Striper, check this band out. They have a MySpace and they're just amazing.
They're still the Death Orgy.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But from what I heard, I give it 2 thumbs up.
2 fucking thumbs up!
I agree, too. It's definitely music that you just really need to get the aggravation out of.
Not because they're from the New England area, because we've downed a couple of the bands that are from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And we've given credit to some good bands over on the West Coast.
Oregon.
You know, like
everywhere.
Our friends with Madeline Speak and Guamba and stuff like that.
Even our friends in the Canadian North at the Clicks and Hunter Valentine.
Clicks.
Which actually, you know, like I mentioned to you too, you know, Madeline Speak got a hold of me again, thanked us for the review, and they're actually sending us some stuff. So.
Yep, I got in contact with the band Eyeshine. They might be sending us some stuff too.
Cool.
I'm still working on some people.
Excellent.
And I'm actually, you know, still trying to get a hold of Gabriel Iglesias, but you can't send him a message on any of his normal things. So,
all right,
I got the number for his promoter.
Oh, okay. Let's see if that works.
Let's see if I can try calling her and work my magic.
Giggity goo.
Yes. Giggity-goo.
Okay. Alright, let's stick a fork in this. Remember, check out our website at thebostonbastardbrigade.com. Look us up on our email address at thebastard@bostonbastardbrigade.com for feedback and requests for topics and things to review.
We are also on myspace.com/bostonbastardbrigade. There you go. Bing, bada boom, bada bing. And then we also have the group on Facebook, which we're still trying to work on that fucking thing. Damn you, fucking Facebook!
You had to change on us. You had to change. You had to break something that didn't need fixing.
Yes, we will show the end mill later to show how horrifying it is. It should be facefuckbook.com.
Okay. And don't forget, check out our sisters, you know, with the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Show them some love. You know, you show us love, show them love, because we love the sisters.
With a very sexy, pandalicious...
And
Ninja Sister.
And the panda will be watching the Super Bowl with us tomorrow.
Yes,
hell yes.
From the bomb shelter.
We had to do some negotiating, but we got her there.
Yes. We had to get the proper amount of bamboo.
And
pepperoni pizza.
And we had to promise her that I would at least wear shoes. I wouldn't walk around fully naked.
And that you wouldn't fart throughout the whole thing.
Whoa.
All right, you can walk outside. You know what? My pond needs a little bit of melting, so just go up my backyard and fart near that thing. No, not again!
Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Blue Onyx.
This is Anvil.
Say sayonara, bitches!
We are the bastards! Hey, look, there's a vase! Let's see if it'll blow up or if I can snort it.